All right, welcome to the latest episode of Nerds with Attitude Podcast. We are back, and we are in your ears. What is up, fellas? I am, as always, I am Kevin.
And I'm Scott.
Hey, Dave's here.
And we're back. We're recording. We took a very long summer break this year. But we're back. We're recording. I've double-checked.
There's a story there. Hopefully it'll see the light of day.
I don't know if anybody will ever hear it, but we did
play it.
We did do an episode before this where... So here's behind the scenes on the podcast. We have our recording device. The actual recorder itself records what's in the room, but then we have all our microphones that are fed into it through Soundwave, our mixer.
Right.
And I forgot to plug Soundwave into the recorder. So it just picked up what we were saying at the table. And where that's funny is that it doesn't sound that great, but we were interviewing Brian, who was on the phone.
From Ohio,
and was not on the recording. So there were long, long gaps of, hey, Brian, tell us about this or that. Dead silence.
It wouldn't be so bad except for the fact that we opened with an interview with Brian.
Yeah. So if you ever hear that, it's going to be sort of like a bonus set. Maybe we'll put it on the Patreon as a bonus.
No, we got to do a real. We got to do it
for real. We'll put it out real. It was a full 52-minute long episode.
And we covered a lot of stuff. You know, we just got to make some fun stuff with it.
All right.
Yeah, we do. We got to get creative with it.
Yeah. So I'll see what I can do. I'll put in some Peter Griffin quotes or something in place of Brian, who is basically Peter Griffin anyways. So, but we're back, and we've got some movie news and some... we have artist spotlights in this episode. Happy Jovember, everybody.
Happy Jovember. I just heard about this today, about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, apparently on Instagram, Jovember is... It's kind of like Inktober, but every day this month you're supposed to draw a G.I. Joe something or other. Oh. So if you follow hashtag Jovember, there is some amazing art being produced right now. And we're going to talk about a couple of those artists a little bit later in the show. First, Scott.
Yes.
I dub the movie news theme song guy.
Okay. I don't know, man. Movie news. I got your movie news right here. Right. And yes, I am grabbing my crotch. Move on.
Why would I make direct eye contact while you were doing that? I don't, it's just so weird. So movie news, we'll start off with the big boy, Star Wars Episode 9.
Oh, I cannot wait.
The movie event of our literal lives. Not just childhood. This has been going on for as long as we have been alive.
I was 2 years old when the first Star Wars rolled out.
I was, when did it come out? May?
77, May 77.
I was 5 months old when the first Star Wars. I count. I was alive when the first Star Wars came out. That means I count as a human being. Anyone born after the first Star Wars does not count.
And that's why Brian Buckley isn't on this particular podcast, right? Buckwheat 79.
You know, I still run into adults today. They're like our age. They're like, yeah, I've never seen a single Star Wars movie. And I'm like, how do you exist in this world without that even accidentally crossing your path on TV?
Hey, you're a lying piece of shit.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because you're right. You turn on... I remember watching on CBS back in the day, you know, in the early 80s, you could see Star Wars at least twice a year. And yeah, I don't know how people could not
like,
see it.
Okay, so like I've mentioned before, I've never seen E.T., but... In my life, it's crossed my path enough times in enough different ways that I got the gist. I've seen a thing here and a thing there that I get it. You know, he's a little brown turd and his fingers light up. I get it.
Who's also in Star Wars?
Right. There's the girl sets things on fire and the boy can fly or something like that.
Something right, like that. Right. Yeah. And the girl eventually becomes a drug addict. And yeah, of course. Right.
Poses for Playboy.
Whatever. I get the gist.
That's right.
Scott's grabbing his crotch again. All right, so Star Wars Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Or is it Rise of the Sky? What is
it? No, Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker. Skywalker.
What does that mean?
Skywalker.
Yeah, coming out December 19th, December 20th officially, but we have our tickets for December 19th.
Yes, we do.
And I can't wait. We've on the Sarlacc Digest, we've gone over it. Over and over and over again.
I imagine you guys have been picking it
up.
Well,
what does the title mean to you?
Okay, what the title means to me is so you've got the Jedi, you've got the Sith, right? Mm-hmm. And they always talk about the Chosen One being able to bring balance to the Force. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Instead of which everybody always thinks, you know, the balance of the Force, well, that means the good guys have got to win. Now, that's a balance between the good and the evil. That's both existing at the same time. And I think what that means is whatever that ends up becoming is the Skywalker. It's the middle. It's the mid-road. It's whatever's going to come out of this once, you know, Ben Solo, Kylo Ren, and Rey decide that they're going to, you know, make little Reylo babies or something like that. They're going to be the Skywalker. Whatever it is that brings balance to the universe, I think that's what it's going to be. That's what it's referencing.
What if they just, like, physically, like, meld their bodies together into, a new being of middle-of-the-road Force person being... No,
sure.
Like a two-headed, four-armed, four-legged.
Isn't that like the Thing? Isn't that the movie The Thing, where it just kind of becomes a creature made of other things?
I think it's something in like Greek mythology about how like people started out as being like, you know, four-armed. They had two faces and two, and then you know, the love was themselves, and then like Zeus split them in half with his lightning bolt. Have you not seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
No.
Oh my God. See, all right, they'll explain it in that.
Okay.
Along with some really great drag rock and roll.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Cool.
Can't wait to not watch that.
It's actually an amazing movie.
Sorry. I'm
okay,
joking
so Rise here. Of Skywalker, we've seen another stupid lightsaber in the trailer.
Yeah, we've got the Switchblade Saber.
Jesus Christ. That thing was mocked within minutes of that trailer dropping.
It looks really janky.
It does.
It does look really janky. It's a cool concept, and they used it in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Or Rebels. I don't remember which one, but it was the type of saber that the Jedi Temple guards would use, the flip-out Switchblade
I thought it was
saber.
One of like the Inquisitors or something who had like the round ones and the blade would flip out both sides or something.
No, they just had the double-sided with the round thing. They'd spin around like helicopters.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But no, the Jedi Temple guards had the Switchblade Sabers and they looked really solid in the cartoon, but in real life, it just
it looks like it's going to fall
apart.
Yeah.
But I think that's a vision. I don't think that's really going to happen.
It's Rey as the in the dark side with the red saber, and that's got to be Vision.
And I also flirted with the idea that maybe she's got a twin, because they do a lot of twin things.
No,
maybe because you don't know where Palpatine's been, and you don't know where... She always says that she's looking for her, or she was waiting on Jakku for her family, but it never said mom and dad. It always said family. You don't know who's in that family.
So, wait, you think the Emperor is her grandfather?
I don't know what I think.
I'm
just making shit up right now.
Honestly, I think the Emperor is in Vision also. I don't think the Emperor is actually alive and in this. I think he's more like Sith Force Ghost.
I don't, because
Vision.
He can't be a Force Ghost because Sith can't be Force Ghosts. If anything, it's going to end up
unless
being
he learned it.
A part of a, right, unless he learned it, but that's becoming one with the light side. Mm. That was the whole point about reaching immortality and how Anakin was trying to reach immortality through the dark side, but you could actually do it through the light side, not the dark. Anyway, I don't know, maybe a holocron? It could be a holocron image, because they've done that in the past.
Right. We've got those weird painting doorways that they had in Rebels.
Yeah.
That Ezra went into. Maybe there was a painting at the bottom of the pit that the Emperor was thrown into, and he landed in the painting, and he went in and came out the other side.
You never know.
Right?
But some things I have found out were that the Death Star, it is not... The pieces of the Death Star that we see in the trailer, apparently that's not Endor. That is, you remember in Return of the Jedi how they would call it the forest moon of Endor?
Mm-hmm.
So the forest, there's a planet of Endor. There's the planet of Endor, but then there's also a moon, which is forest. And apparently there's also an ocean moon of Endor. So
that was my question that I couldn't get a clear answer to when they say the forest moon of Endor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are they on the forest moon? Are they on Endor?
Apparently,
is Endor
the
name
moon.
Of the moon that is also a forest? It, you know,
They also call it like the Endor system in the, you know, gotcha. They've you always know, Bespin system and all that. Well, actually, that's the Anoat system, but still.
Right, right.
Anyway.
All right, so it's the Death Star pieces have scattered all over the Endor moons.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and that's the moon that they go to. But I think they are actually on the forest moon of Endor at the beginning of that
latest
trailer.
It looked like it.
It does. And I want to see, and I've talked about this on the other podcast, I want to see Chief Wicket.
Oh, I was going to say Ewok Bones. But
Ewok,
you know, they were all left to starve to
Warwick
death,
Davis is in every single Star Wars movie. And if he doesn't reprise his role as Wicket, I'm going to be very disappointed.
That'd be pretty cool.
He'd be Chief.
I think he'd be Chief Wicket. Why not, man? He helped lead a rebellion, man. He hit himself in the head with a rock and then knocked himself out. But I just can't wait to see this movie.
Ewok Adventures, they're not canon anymore, right?
No. Nothing pre... Because
Wicket could speak English.
Could he? I don't remember. I haven't seen that in the second...
The
Battle for Endor?
Mm-hmm. He learns English.
I don't think I've seen that since 1986.
But there's some cool imagery in the second trailer of every starship ever all in the sky at the same time.
The ghost is in it from Rebels.
A freighter that is in the same class as the ghost.
It's got to be the ghost.
It's the ghost.
It is.
The ghost was in Rogue One, so it exists. So.
How about the scene with the where you got the Star Destroyer rising out of
the ice?
Ice.
That looked really cool.
Or the planet that just looks like an iceberg in space.
Yeah.
It just fucking rad imagery. So I just can't wait for this
thing. It looks very epic and very cool, and I'm very excited to see how it ends, and I can't wait for the next trilogy of 10, 11, and 12. There's no reason why this has to stop with 9.
Well, with this, it is supposed to be the conclusion of the Skywalker saga, and anything else that happens will be in a different time or a different, not involving the Skywalkers.
I gotta be honest with you. If it's the conclusion of the Skywalker saga, they haven't really done a whole lot of Skywalker saga up through the 7 and 8. So
not really. I mean, if you come to think about it, Leia and Ben are, well, Luke. I mean, Luke was around at the Last Jedi, but those three, Ben, Leia, and Luke, are the last of the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't either. So
unless, you know, Ben Solo's got some baby mamas out there somewhere.
He might. You know, people keep thinking that he's going to get his ass redeemed. And I'm sitting there thinking, number one, the motherfucker killed Han Solo. He can rot in hell.
I don't see him being redeemed.
I don't either. And they keep releasing these comics. I'm reading one called Allegiance, where the guy, Ben, decapitates somebody just for refusing to help, getting the resistance on the phone and saying, no, we're not going to help you, and hanging up. He killed them just for answering the call. And I'm like, that's not redemption material.
Right.
But then again, I mean, Darth Vader, he was a prick, you know? And he got quote-unquote redeemed.
I mean, he made C-3PO, and I don't think there's anything worse you can do in the entire galaxy.
Ouch.
Right?
Poor 3PO.
He's going to die.
I can't wait to see him die. I hate C-3PO so much.
You know what? I was getting to the point where I loved him in the original trilogy. And the prequel trilogy, he just kind of bugged, especially Attack of the Clones.
Uh-huh.
Just, oh my God, I hated that. And then he hasn't done anything in this new trilogy. So,
but every time he shows up in Clone Wars or Rebels, I just like, or
it's
not Rebels,
just comedy shtick.
Clone Wars, yeah. I just tune out on those episodes. He's the droid Jar Jar. I just don't want to see him, hear him, nothing. And they're going to turn him into a suicide bomber with, you know,
ooh, that was really loud.
With Chewbacca's little bandolier, and they're going to send him off charging into the fray.
I was right there with you until I saw the trailer, and he says what he says about, I just wanted to take one last look at my friends. I'm just like,
did that tug your heartstrings a little?
Don't die, 3PO. You can't die.
I already had a screwdriver out so I could take the batteries out of him.
If you look at that scene, though, there's a B1 battle droid behind him in that scene. There's wherever it is that they are, there's battle droids.
Right.
And
what was the B1? Is that the
B1 was the Roger.
The
little cream colored ones. The B2s are the big bulky,
the beefy ones,
bulbous,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
and then the round ones that come out and they have a shield.
The droidicas. The destroyer droids.
Destroyer droids, yeah.
Bring out the droidicas.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not Asian.
No, not at all.
Uh-uh.
What? What did you say?
Jesus.
They are Jedi?
Roger.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, we're gonna already talk have about our tickets. We went out and I picked up 22 tickets. On
Holy
the
Jesus!
Yeah,
I hope you got like rewards points on that credit card or something.
I got paid for it all, thank God. So it was, but yeah, it was.
Did we just buy a theater, pretty much, or
about half of it?
Wow.
Yeah, we bought half a theater. So yeah,
could have had a great screening and just everybody chip in for two tickets and buy the whole theater.
That'd be great. But so. The tickets are going on sale. They're supposed to go on sale at 5 o'clock, right? So at 5 o'clock, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead, and I've got the Cinemark app where I'm supposed to be able to buy tickets on there. But you've got to, you know, fat fingers, and you got right. a little phone. You got to pick the seats and all that. So I'm picking the seat. You know, that's my thought. Okay, I will get all 22 tickets on the phone, no problem. And then I'm told you can only buy 10 on your phone. I'm like, well, shit. So, okay, I leave work early, get in the car, I'm headed up the freeway, and then all of a sudden I get a message ring through on my car saying, tickets are on sale now. So I'm like...
Did you just pull over on the freeway?
I pulled over on the freeway.
Very nice.
And I was like, okay, just as fast as I could, bap, 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 bap. I was unsure if they were all together, and I bought 10, and then I'm like, I'm going to try it again. Bap, 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 bap. Bought 10 more. Went through. So I'm like, okay, I got 20. Nice. And Ernie got the other two. And it ended up, they were all together in like three little chunks.
Nice.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
Just don't put me on the end.
Uh-oh. No, you're fine. You're fine.
Not too close and not on the end.
You got it.
That's my only request.
You got it.
So, yeah, so that's coming out. In movies that nobody asked for or is waiting for is Bloodshot, which I believe is a comic book from Malibu.
I don't know.
That's an older thing. If it even is, maybe.
I don't know.
But
maybe
it stars Vin Diesel, who apparently isn't fat anymore. Because seriously, in the like Fate of the Furious, he was chubby and phoning it in. Holy crap! Like, because I think at that point they knew that Hobbs and Shaw was coming out, and he's just like, well, "This series is out of my hands."
This series is out of my hands.
He's rude.
I was about to say.
Oh, yeah, he's gravelly, right? Yeah.
I am good.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. He's like a special forces, and they bring him back to life, and they've implanted like, this is who killed your wife. And then you kind of find out through the trailer that they keep re-waking him up with new fake memories of who killed his wife. And he's basically just being sent out as an assassin to kill people. But okay. he thinks he's getting revenge on his dead wife and children.
Oh.
But then finds out, and then he's got to like fight the people, the corporation that turned him.
There was one thing where his face was blown off.
Oh, he's all like nanomites, indestructible.
Yeah. I saw that movie, Rise of Cobra, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, nanomites. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is basically Destro as a hitman.
I got
apparently. Okay. It looks dumb.
It stars Vin Diesel, so I will automatically not see it. Unless he's a big tree, I'm not going to watch it.
Anybody, God, you know what that irritates me is that anybody could have done Groot. But because Vin Diesel sells tickets in the Asian market, they cast him just to put his name on the poster.
That's fun.
So that Guardians of the Galaxy will sell 10 million tickets in the Asian market.
And it worked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
So because there's no reason to put him in there.
No, not at all.
Especially in the second one or the other movies where he's like baby or teen Groot.
And so they really got to fuck up his voice.
Yeah. And so it doesn't even sound like him at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. What else is coming out? Anything you're excited for, waiting for?
Star Wars is kind of, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about movies that we've seen over the summer since we haven't met in the last 9.5 years since our last podcast.
It's
been a while. Yeah. It's been a while. Been a while. You have to do it in the Creed voice. It's been a while.
Is that Creed?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
Let me Google it. I'm not going to Google it.
You're not going to Google Creed?
I don't want Creed in my search history. Are you kidding me?
It's worse than finding porn in your search history. It's Creed.
What is this?
Scott Stapp. Oh, my God. let's see. I saw It too.
Okay. And we missed it, but we were in Ireland, and it kind of came and went.
Yeah.
It was all right. It was okay.
Well, that's going to dovetail into the movies I've seen. But
okay.
Yeah.
I found it not as... I mean, none of them are really scary, overly scary, because I get scared at movies, really. Right.
I think Bill Hader stole that movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. I think Bill Hader stole that movie, but I think It 1 was a more frightening movie.
More
this
frightening,
one,
creepy. There's some creepy moments.
Yeah, but
under the bleachers.
Kids facing danger, I think, is scarier than adults facing danger.
But they went weird with it, and they went really over the top with like comedic looking clown horror, mm-hmm. where it was like big tongues hanging out and big eyes popping out.
Like the end battle, just it was too corny. I think
it was very predictable.
Yeah,
it was very corny, but. Lots of, and I mean, all throughout the movie, tongues hanging out, and, mm-hmm. and there was a scene with an old naked lady where boobs are just kind of swinging, and it's
weird.
It's ridiculous.
Some parts are, there are some good jumps, like the puppy. That was great. The door, the scary door, the very scary door, and the normal scary door.
Oh my God,
that was the best scene.
It was funny.
But Bill Hader, Bill.
One? Huh? That was in the first one, right?
No, it's the second one. Second. That was Bill Hader. It was Bill Hader's scene. He's hilarious in it.
Yeah. So that was good. Goodish.
Yeah.
The first one I recommend more. But if you watch it as a whole, it's a good series. Mm-hmm. So
we were, like I said, flew to Ireland, and so I had 11.
Because
you've been twice, so be jealous. So we had 11 hours there and back, so I watched a lot of plane movies. Rocket Man really surprised me how much I enjoyed it.
I liked it.
It's done.
What?
I didn't like the transitioning. The music transitioning.
No, I was surprised it was done as a musical mm-hmm. versus like Bohemian Rhapsody was more of a biopic where they were performing their songs. This was like characters singing Elton John mm-hmm. songs, and the lyrics were tweaked a little bit to fit the scene. And
I enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed I thought the arrangements on a lot of the songs were done really well, and mm-hmm. and it blew me away. I was really surprised. I bought the soundtrack. I liked it so much.
Nice.
So I mean. Cheap used, because I mean I'm not a fool, but saw the live action Aladdin.
I did too. I watched that. Yeah.
Which is kind of shot for shot live action Aladdin, and Will Smith is not a singer. He can rap.
Yeah.
He cannot sing.
No.
He that was the worst parts of the movie was him trying to sing. And you know, they got his kind of hip hop feel added to a couple of the numbers, which I thought was kind of cool. They sounded great, like the big Alibaba, the parade.
Yeah,
Prince Ali.
Yeah, Prince Ali, you know, was a great number. There's one or two tracks on that I would probably download and add to my music list of stuff that I like. But what else? What else do you guys see?
I saw the Joker.
Oh yeah, how was that?
And I know I'm in the minority here, but it just was not for me. It was just too much.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a very heavy movie, and it pretty much exactly was what I thought it was going to be because of all the things I had heard about it. But it wasn't for me. It was not a whole lot of murder and mayhem in it. There was but it's just very psychological. Yeah. And
I don't know. Just pretty much for me. I've been burned so many times on DC property movies. And also with the Joker himself, the Joker is one of those characters you don't know where he comes from, and that's what kind of makes him a cool character.
A little more terrifying.
Yeah, you don't know his background. It could be anything. I like that about Heath Ledger's Joker was that his origin story he tells changes depending on who he's talking to.
Yeah.
I really like that about the Joker, and so I don't need to know where he comes from. I don't need him humanized.
And
I have less than zero interest in seeing it.
The last, I want to say, 20 to 30 minutes are the best. It's the best part of it whenever you start to realize that just how messed up he is and just how deranged he is and then what that leads into. I mean, I know I didn't need to see Thomas and Martha Wayne get murdered again, but it happened.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Yeah, again.
Do we get to see...
Why'd you say Martha?
Baby Batman as it... dovetails into the Gotham TV show.
It's pretty much. I mean, it's right there. So, but it's weird the way they kind of make it seem as though everything we know about Thomas Wayne and Bruce Wayne's father in the past has been kind of like through the rose-colored glasses of his son.
Right.
Okay. And that Thomas Wayne is more of the cutthroat businessman. Not to get political, but kind of the very topical with the current political climate. You know, he's running for mayor, and there's dirt on him, and he's had affairs, and that was kind of unexpected. But then the last 30 minutes where everything just goes to hell.
Yeah.
That is actually the best part of the movie.
Well, when it comes out streaming or rent, I'll probably get it at Redbox for $1.50 or something. And
it's marketed.
Check it out there.
The way it's being marketed, my 6-year-old niece said, "Oh, I want to go see the Joker." And I looked at her and said,
"Why?
No, you're not going to go." "But it's Batman." I'm like, "No, it's not Batman. You do not need to see this." And my mom's like, "Why not?" I'm like, "Well,
it's R-rated and she's 6.
Yeah.
Let's start there."
Yeah. It's just. Yeah. Not for me. I'm good. I've seen it. I don't need to see it again.
Saw Toy Story 4 on the plane, and it was Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
It did not leave a lasting impression. I found the Spoony, Forky, whatever that character.
Just like, let him die.
I was like, let him go. Yeah. Jesus, Woody. I did really like the antique store with the creepy ventriloquist dolls.
Yeah.
I found that very... very dark and disturbing. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and we've been in enough antique stores to know that those things exist.
That shit is real.
That's right. Those dolls will come and kill you.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of any other movies. Dave, anything?
I took the kids to see Addams Family.
How was it?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah,
just okay
for the kids. Yeah, yeah, it was okay animation and good voice acting.
Okay, who are some of the voice
Charlize
actors?
Theron was Morticia.
Okay.
Poe Dameron, whoever that guy is.
Yeah, yeah. Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, he was...
Gomez.
Gomez.
Okay.
Can't think of off the top of my head. Wolfgard, whatever, from Stranger Things. Wolf something.
Finn Wolf
was Pugsley, okay. So, you know, they're doing the... capitalizing on him.
Yeah.
Can't remember who else. Allison Janney.
Okay.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, it was okay.
Nothing else really standing out that I saw on the plane or that I've seen recently.
When you went where?
To Ireland.
I went to Ireland. Did you kiss the stone?
Fuck no, I didn't kiss that dirty ass.
Everybody needs to kiss the trap. Stone.
No, you don't. It's some made up fairy bullshit.
It's the gift of gab.
Is that true?
and honestly, it's like a stone at the bottom of a wall that you kind of have to lean over backwards to kiss.
Yeah, bend over backwards over a hole that drops about, I don't know.
Which you are not in any danger of falling out. It's not that big of a hole, but it's still unsettling looking straight down like 60 feet.
And before they put the metal rods there, yes, there was a good danger of falling. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that when we went, there were two people there to help you, you know, get down and hold your feet. And there was a handrail to hold on to. But the thing is just dirty and germ infested.
Just lick it.
No.
Both times I went down there, my lips did not touch the stone. Yeah. But I did the bend over thing and do the thing. But I was like,
no.
And just didn't touch it. Yep.
Nope. Not for me.
Right on.
There is a movie I saw a trailer for. It looks like a super low budget indie that Kevin Smith produced, I guess. It's called The Madness in the Method. Where it's Jason Mewes wants to like be taken seriously as a real actor, but everybody just keeps thinking of him as Jay from Silent Bob, and it's got like crazy big stars in it.
Doesn't surprise me.
And you know, like, well, all right, let me rephrase. It's got, like, Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain and Vinnie Jones and
so they were once crazy big stars.
Well,
in the 90s
they're
on TV.
Still like real people. Like good actors that are in it and playing silly roles, and it looks kind of interesting, but I can't find it anywhere, like streaming or to rent.
Not being able to find it anywhere leads me to Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
What the
Where
fuck?
The hell? It came out one day. It played on like, I don't know, 100 theaters maybe, and now it's like, and now wait for streaming.
Yeah, I guess that's his model that he's had with his previous movies, is that he'll take them on a tour.
Uh-huh.
So you'll see it in each town. It'll stream for, or it'll play for a night, and he does the Q&A kind of thing. Mm. And apparently he just tours with them, makes a ton of money that way, because that way he's not paying for the promotional side of stuff and advertising and the studios taking their big cuts. It's just all going in his pocket, working it, and he ends up making a lot more money. And then afterwards, release it.
But I wanted to see it.
I do too, but it's probably for us, unless it comes to somewhere near, you know, Southern California to go see it in the theater with his Q&A.
Yeah, gotta wait for the streaming.
You gotta wait for streaming in like a year or so, and I really want to see Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Me too. I watched Strike Back again last week on one of my many days off because they keep closing the office.
Uh-huh.
And not as funny as I remember. Maybe it's just because it's like those comedy acts that you know, you've seen it, you've seen the jokes, you know the jokes,
you know the jokes, line, yeah.
But still, it just I love those movies.
Marshall Will and Holly still gets me though.
Yeah, yeah. That guy's such an idiot.
Will Ferrell is not. I'm getting diminishing returns on Will Ferrell in my life in general.
For me, his peak was Talladega Nights.
Yeah. Did you see Between Two Ferns, the movie?
No. Mm.
Okay, so you're familiar with Between Two Ferns, the Zach Galifianakis fake talk show, where he has on guests, and he's horrifyingly insulting to them without real meaning it, not meaning it. I don't know. They turn it into a movie, and it actually kind of plays. It's just a whole bunch of vignettes of him interviewing. You know, it's like 10 or 15 of his interviews strung together as he crosses the country trying to like make enough of them to make a TV show.
Okay.
But Will Ferrell plays a caricature of himself as the head of Funny or Die. And every time he's on scene, it's like, fucking dial it back, man. Like, it's old. It's got to go.
Did you ever see his movie, and it is my second favorite Will Ferrell, it's Stranger Than Fiction.
I did. When he tones it down.
It was a serious role.
Yeah.
And it was a very heartwarming. It was just a good movie.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I think every comedian tends to have that one like drama in him. Like Adam Sandler did one.
Yeah, he's got one coming out now, I think.
Is it another one?
Yeah. They're talking Oscar
really?
Buzz about Adam Sandler, okay. Where he plays like a gangster or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Other Guys is it's a cop duo, and he's in it, and he plays sort of a straight man ish role, but towards the end of the movie, it goes into like a here's my backstory, and it's just Will Ferrell going off the rails. That's my least favorite part of that movie, but the rest of it, it's him just kind of being the straight man to Mark Wahlberg, and it worked really well. So yeah. He's got his moments, but for the most part, anytime he shows up, I'm like, ugh, 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 Office season 5, ugh.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
for like 3 episodes, where they go rotating managers. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Idris Elba, for some reason. What was he not doing at the time that he was on The Office?
He was between seasons of Luther.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get into checking my time. We're still recording.
Are we plugged in?
Shut your face.
Okay.
You make that mistake once. So this is Jovember, and there's a lot of good art that's out there, most of it through Instagram, but also Facebook and other sources. So we are going to do an artist spotlight. I don't think that's something we've done before.
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah.
So first up, you can find him on Instagram, Mate Mylar. And I believe that is his Instagram tag, is Mate Mylar, M-A-T-E-M-Y. Look, all these are going to be linked on the Facebook page, so don't worry about the spellings. You'll find them. What he has been doing for the last couple of months is recreating box art with, like, you know, that classic red-yellow explosion which over a black background, and it's all action, but with the figures in the pose.
It's gorgeous.
Real life, and they are, like, excellent, like super saturated color. The pose is right. He's using the vintage toys.
Great compositions, though.
His photography skills are great, and including like blasts coming out of a rocket that look like, because the way he's putting like light into cotton balls and stuff like that. And he'll post the photo, and then he'll do like a behind the scenes showing you the little diorama that he set up. And he sent me one. I bought it, but he sent it to me of it was from the comic book, episode
Sky Striker versus the Rattler.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and so it's a photo collage of the Sky Striker and Rattler both shot to shit crossing each other, and in each corner is Ace and Wild Weasel saluting. And it's just, these are amazing of what he's able to do. And some of it is just like a blast coming out of a tank cannon, and you pull back, and it's just a straw with like an LED light in it.
So crazy.
But the way it turns out, and the way he's got everything colored and painted. So make sure you follow Mate Mylar. He's got prints that he's puts for sale, and I want to say he's working on something, but I don't have the information at my fingertips.
Okay. That's, well, just some of these. I think he even recreated the first issue, the cover of the first issue.
He did. Yep, all of them jumping off
fantastic.
The tank. And then he's just got some which are just like diorama battle photos
Yeah.
That look amazing, and you know, with what he's doing with it. He's got Transformers in here that look great.
I was about to say, delved into Transformers recently, and they really look good.
Yeah, there's a one with Prime, and he's kind of backlit, like the sun is rising behind him. It just, it's so amazing.
I kind of hate him because he's like really good.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm.
I think that's going to be a recurring theme with this segment. Is I kind of hate how talented this guy is.
Yeah.
So that's it, Mate Mylar. The next one up is John Jett. Also on Instagram, and he currently is. I bought some prints from him earlier. He did a whole series of little 3x5 like art cards, and this year he's doing for Jovember is the PSAs. So so each one is sort of an original creation of like Wild Bill, and it's like, you know, don't go swimming when there's a storm out, you know, something like that. So he's doing a whole PSA homage, which I think is awesome.
I like the Wild Bill with "Don't do what a stranger says."
That's right.
These are great.
And so his.
I know this makes for really good radio as I'm sitting and go, oh, wow, look at this.
I know. But we're going to have links to it. So his Instagram is, or his Facebook, JohnJett14.
Instagram is John.Jett, yep. And that's two T's.
And so far he's got like Scarlet that says, you'll never win if you give in. You know, little things like that. So that's his whole theme for Jovember. And his artwork is incredible.
Yeah.
Everything's fully inked and colored. And. If you scroll through his history of stuff, he's a huge Joe fan. And I would recently we had put up on the Facebook page that he had a G.I. Joe print sale for some stuff. So he's pretty diverse in what he can do. So check him out.
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
Next up is Danny Zabel. And I hope I'm saying that the right way.
I gotta type that in.
And I believe his website is... Danny Z or Danny Zep. Hang on. I should have been a lot more prepared for this segment, but it's DannyZeb.com. And if you picked up the most recent Word Burglar album called Space Verse, he did the album art for it.
Oh, okay.
He's out of Canada. Got to say, a lot of good work coming out of Canada. Mate Mylar from Canada, the Halifax area. Like that whole, like I believe that's East Coast. Man, they're bringing G.I. Joe hard.
That's some good work there, eh?
Danny Zab.
You know that was coming, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay.
Sorry. Right. Yo, Joe, eh?
Eh?
Anyways, December show, the Joe show in Temecula, that's going to be December 1st.
Yeah.
We are going to have an extremely limited, exclusive T-shirt and mouse pad, because I like doing the mouse pads. I think they're cool. but we're going to have some original art by Danny Zab that's G.I. Joe. An extremely limited quantity at the Joe show. And you're going to love it. I showed Dave the preview of it. What'd you think?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And
it pops.
It does. And Scott put a little tweak on it
for
some font. Because I used Comic Sans, and I sent him into a spasm.
Okay, so he sends me this artwork, okay? And this artwork is just gorgeous. And this is Danny's app, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this artwork is just beautiful. And he asked me to do a little tweaking on part of it to make it flow right.
Work better on a T-shirt kind of thing, yeah.
And I did it, and then he's like, okay. And I'm like, that's all I got time to do. And he's like, okay, great. And then he sends me a comp back with his Comic Sans typography on it,
which was placeholder only.
Oh my God,
look, it was literally like, do you think words work with this image?
Words work, but when used with the proper typeface.
Yes, I know. And that was like 11 o'clock at night. I was going to bed. I was just like, let me just shoot this off and be done with it. I don't have an hour to go through my font list right now.
I get to work at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, oh, fuck, no. No. No,
Trust me. I would never, ever have put something like that out into the world. Ever.
So a half hour later, you had something.
You did the proper thing, which was be super fucking talented and make it look amazing.
Typography is my thing.
Temecula, G.I. Joe Toy Show. We'll plug it again at the end of the show. Danny Zab. Also, if you haven't picked up Word Burglar's album, Space Verse, you got to get it. It's really all kind of like Star Trek, Star Wars, space
visionaries.
Themed.
There's a visionary song on there, and I'm like, oh, well, this is my jam right here.
That's and also from Canada, and he's a huge G.I. Joe fan.
Canada.
I'm going to Canada to get my Joe on. In also G.I. Joe world, Jamie Sullivan. And
never heard of her.
Scott T. Sorry, talk a little bit about what Jamie's done in the past.
Oh, well, Jamie has... God, where to start? His Robotech creds are absolutely insane. I mean, he does the artwork for the action figure packages right. that are coming out with Robotech. His G.I. Joe stuff is just... It's absolutely fantastic. He's currently running with the A Real American Hero series that's written by Larry Hama. He's got a specific cover that he does for every issue. And,
right.
And the current series right now, which is...
He's doing like the retail incentive covers.
Yeah, the retailer right. incentive covers. And right now he's got one that's a four issue or five issue that's... I think there are three issues into it right now where it's the original 13 Joes
yes.
standing in front of the old school headquarters.
Yes.
And it's just... It's fantastic.
If you had been following him through Facebook or Instagram recently, he was actually selling it. I have one out in the shop. It's 5 feet wide.
That's so cool.
Like 17 inches by 5 feet wide. And it's this amazing connecting cover. So he's currently working on another connecting cover series that we're not allowed to talk about, but we know what it is. Neener, neener, neener. Mm-hmm. But what I do want to promote for him is...
You want me to do some more filler while you?
No,
think
I'm trying
about
to read. He says my booth will be up front next to Toynabe, but I'm trying to figure out where. Oh, Designer Con.
Oh, okay.
So Designer Con is coming up, and so
I always wanted to go to that.
He's going to have a booth right up front next to Toynabe, and he'll be doing a signing with Kevin Edward Thompson. He was an Ewok in Return of the Jedi, and the Ewok movies.
Okay.
He was also on Blade Runner and a boatload of other stuff.
And Toynabe, they're the ones who produce the Robotech figures that he's doing all the artwork for.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's why he'll be up with there, probably doing signings of some Robotech stuff too. He did a new version of Star Wars number 94, the Marvel run that's currently out. His cover has an Ewok on the cover instead of... His Ewok on the cover instead of a generic one, whatever that means. So he's doing Star Wars other than just G.I. Joe stuff too. Also, if you follow him, he had I think it was a diabetes thing and he lost his pinky toe.
Yeah,
and he was doing a kind of a jokey web comic of his dismembered pinky toe and its misadventures. So he will have the first collectible for the deeply enthralling misadventures of my amputated toe at Designer Con.
But are they releasing action figures? Because I need a toe action figure.
Currently, you know what? Go in cosplay as his dismembered toe. That would be amazing. No, they're doing
terrible.
They're doing pins.
Okay.
So of the little, so you can have a little dismembered pinky toe. Enamel pin. I think that would be awesome.
You know you're going to get one and add it to your enamel pin collection.
I should.
You
yeah.
should. Yeah.
yeah. What's on Toe's mind?
Oh, no.
Start my own out another podcast. So
that's what you need. Another podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
That I won't record. Nobody will hear. So, but yeah, so Jay Sullivan, follow him on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. He's a huge Joe artist as well as a bunch of other stuff. So, I think that is...
And a friend.
Oh, and Scott, you had your buddy who does the Transformers stuff.
Yeah, Livio Remondelli is, number one, he's got his own Transformers comic right now, and I believe it's Transformers Galaxies. Yeah, Transformers Galaxies, where he's doing all the artwork for. I mean, just...
It's crazy.
Everything is painted and beautiful and insane, but on top of that, he now has his own... creator-owned comic coming out, and I'm trying to find the name of it. It's called The Kill... Kill Lock. And it's just about a robot in the future, and the artwork, again, it's just gorgeous. So shout-out to him. It's going to be on IDW, and I believe it's coming in December. So issue number one will be hitting in December. So good on you, Livio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on. Dave, you draw, right?
Sometimes.
You should be doing Jovember drawings.
Yeah, I should be.
But I'm not. I said that to Scott, too. And like, in all your infinite time that you have in prepping for the Joe show next month,
oh, God.
Squeeze in some a daily drawing, Scott.
Yeah, he's done a day. You been doing daily drawings for a while.
I did daily drawings at the beginning of Inktober, yeah. And then life got in the way,
yeah.
As it do.
I know.
And, you know, plane flights to Texas and just doing yeah. shit.
So. Family. Stupid family.
Family.
Also, sort of in G.I. Joe news, there's a app game called Transformers Earth Wars.
Yep.
And they have added G.I. Joe characters to it. You can now get G.I. Joe vehicles that turn into Transformers,
I think guess. So, yeah. I think there's a His Tank that turns into Megatron?
And a Vamp and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
I don't know, but I think you still have to, like, play the game and extensively to, like, unlock any of those characters, oh. And some of them are random. I'm like, just make a G.I. Joe game already for frickin' frack's sake, man.
We were almost not explicit right there. We almost.
Oh, no. I think I got one in earlier. One in. Yeah. I think I said too. Shit or something. Probably something racist. I don't know.
Maybe. In other video games, they've got the Jedi Fallen Order coming
out.
Oh,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I went to my GameStop today and I asked them, do you have any Black Series figures? And racist. They're like, I know, right? It always comes back to racism with you. So they said, oh, yeah, we just got a case of Black Series figures. They pull out this case, and they pull out.
I don't know whose watch is trying to answer the question.
My watch is trying to answer the question. So I go in there. They pull out this case
of Black Series. Your watch is so smart. Why wouldn't it know you're not talking to it?
It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, so they pull out the case.
And it's the Purge Trooper, yeah. Which is the exclusive figure that goes along with this. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. She goes, do you want it? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay, cool. Do you want the case? And I'm like, would you sell me the case? She's like, yeah, I'll get rid of the case. If you want to buy the case, I'll sell you the case. Okay. So she goes over and she rings it up. Oh, I can't sell it. It goes along with this video game. And I'm like, oh.
She hooked, lined, and sunk you.
She did. And then I saw it and I got to hold it in my hand. And then I spent $82 on the video game with the action figure.
Great. Enjoy your $82 Purge Trooper.
Right. Because we all know how much I play video games.
Right. It's going to be all flying a TIE fighter.
In circles, running into asteroids. It's terrible.
Well, at least you'll be in space with no up, down, left, or right to to guide you.
Right. And then my wife, Julie, and I got hooked on this stupid, stupid app called Best Fiends.
What is that?
It is just a dumb game where it's like you got to get at least three in a row to clear a line, and it's kind of like Bejeweled.
It's like Candy Crush
kind of thing? I never played Candy Crush.
It's the same general concept of match three in a row, make the line disappear.
She and I are battling each other in this thing now. So I was bored, and I started playing it, and then she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's that? What's that? What are you doing? I'm like, it's called Best Fiends. And she's like, oh, I want to try it. So I'm like, okay. So she downloads it. And, you know, within a week, I was on, like, level 69 or something like that. Yeah, right? She's now on level 134. Oh, I'm like, God damn it.
All right.
Just let me have this thing. I'm not good at video games. Just let me have this one.
I don't know the last. Like, I downloaded a bunch of apps for my trip to Ireland. Mm. Neener, neener.
Son of a bitch.
Did I mention I went to Ireland? Humble brag. I can travel. I have a passport. Actually, my passport's in a Chewbacca carry case that my wife got for me because she's cool. Awesome.
She is awesome.
She can't hear me right now.
She's not paying attention.
Because she's wearing a gamer headset. I think she's killing some teenagers in Call of Duty. We were just talking about how awesome you are.
Oh, I am. Thank you.
All right, go back to killing teenagers in Call of Duty.
We're watching Monk.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the last app game I played. I'll be honest with you. They lose my interest so quickly.
I'm interested in that Transformers G.I. Joe, though. That seems interesting. I have it. Is it free to download?
Yeah, it's a free-to-play. Okay. It's a microtransaction game. You know, or you can just grind and randomly unlock stuff. But, yeah, it's like build a fort, attack a fort. It's dumb.
So Angry Birds. It's like Angry Birds. It's like, this is like Candy Crush.
We got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about what are some recent toys you guys have picked up. I know there's some new stuff that's been coming out in the KO market.
I'm going to let Dave start off with this one because... Yeah.
You brought a box of toys. Mm. What have you picked up?
Let's hear about that.
In the box. In the box.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Oh my God, it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Woohoo! No, nothing exciting. We had a local guy.
I'm sorry, this is not exciting.
We had a local guy in our local Facebook group that was getting rid of all of his stuff. So I pretty
Pat
much
O'Donnell.
Yeah,
nice
I pretty
guy.
Much bought the entire Battle Force 2000 set. I brought it to see if anybody wanted to build a
if anybody wants fortress, to buy it from you.
Nah. And then I picked up this Once a Man Cobra Commander. This was done by one of the or two of the guys in the Facebook groups. It's basically Cobra Commander after he gets the spores through him in the G.I. Joe movie, and he turns into a snake.
I was once a man.
It's a pretty cool figure. There's only, 50 made?
Really?
Yeah, it's on the bottom. I got like 30 on the side right there. Right there.
Oh, okay. 36 out of 50.
Yeah, so nice. There's only 50 made. It was a little bit pricey, but I had the opportunity to claim one, so I did.
Well, I really appreciate you giving this to me, man. Yeah. It's really nice of you.
Yeah, he's pricey. And then I got a couple snake armors. Kevin gave me give him some money, but
Black Major is
Black Major, yeah.
Released. I don't know. Now I don't really follow the Facebook groups anymore because I can only buy so many recolored Snow Serpents and and Cobra Troopers.
Exactly. Right. But they started doing the snake armor, which is pretty cool.
Out of nowhere, I'm like, oh shit, snake armor! And there's so, like 12 different colors that you can get.
So I haven't seen the Tiger Force one, but Kevin got an extra.
It, snagged it.
And
so you got Tiger Force, Night Force.
I haven't seen the Night Force.
It's gray with orange. I really think they missed not doing black with orange. Okay. But there's
they have the Red Shadows.
The Red Shadows, which is a black and red. There's a Dreadnought kind of.
I haven't seen the
teal and purple.
I think that was somebody's homemade one. Was it? I don't think that was part of.
Well, and then they've got chrome. A bunch of chrome. Yeah. They've got green, red,
so I picked
blue,
up the, I picked
silver,
up the green,
gold, black.
The Serpentor one, which is pretty cool.
There's
too.
Also some blanks, I believe, too, where you can actually paint them yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
You'd like prototype or
I think
something
that's what
like
somebody
that.
Did with the Dreadnought one, which is pretty cool.
He's got the antenna.
Yeah. My only thing is that the prices have varied. Like, we got our Tiger Force ones for shipped $20 a piece.
Right.
But then some of them, not chrome, are like 30, 38. Some of the chrome ones are 40, 50. Like, their pricing are. Is all over the place.
And the Red Shadows one was only 18 shipped, so it's like it's fluctuating. I think it depends on who's actually selling them. Like
I imagine they promote.
Yeah,
the chrome might have been a little more expensive, but I figure all the painted ones all cost the same, and it just each investor I'm assuming was like, okay, put me in for 100, put me in for 200, you know, and then they just sell them for whatever they want, and you know, people want them, they're buying them. So,
yet there's no market for G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
I know.
They'd sell out like crazy. Then I picked up a Ghost Striker with the Ace figure. That was at the local toy shop in Redlands.
Cool.
Where I didn't get a whale. Yeah. Stupid Facebook metrics. Seriously, the first time it showed up on my feed was the post was 3 days old.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's somebody I have clicked as follow. I'm like, why would I not see this?
And that's it popped up on your feed because I made a comment on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking Facebook. There's our explicit.
There we go.
And we've also lost them as a sponsor.
Yeah.
Were they ever sponsoring us?
No.
No. And then I did pick up the Clone Wars Obi-Wan.
Such a good figure.
Such a great figure. Yeah. I think that's pretty much all
we talked about that in our last episode, about how good that Obi-Wan Clone Commander figure is.
He just looks fantastic.
He does. He actually has like little bit of blush in his cheeks.
You just
like
want to squeeze him.
You do. Fantastic. You just want to pinch his cheeks.
I got the couple of Star Wars. I'm selling off about a third of my Star Wars collection. It got way out of control, so I'm focusing just on a couple of clone commanders and then OG trilogy, a couple of specific figures, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But I did get the Obi-Wan. I got the Commander Fox, the red one, and I got Commander Klee, which with the green one with the suspenders.
Gree. Yeah. So I green without the end.
Yeah, so I got those. And so I'm completing my Rainbow Clone Commander army.
Very nice.
I just need Cody to get the yellow in there.
And he'd go really nice with that Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Actually, I've been eyeballing on eBay just some knockoff just clone troopers, just to put one. Like, they're all commanders. They need somebody to boss around. But
right.
Let's see. Oh, I have been focusing a lot of my attention the last couple of months on Exo Squad. I will tell more in the future when I'm ready. But I have what I thought was an almost complete collection from the 93-94, I think, when that came out, that I've just had in storage since. And a lot of it's box complete. A couple of them are sealed because I was in high school and working, so I had disposable income. So when that stuff went clearance at KB and Toys R Us, I just scooped them all up because I thought they were cool.
Yeah.
And they've just stayed in storage for the last 25 years. So I compiled a list of everything that was made, and over the summer I've been kind of picking them off one by one. I've pretty much doubled my Exo Squad collection, and I'm only missing like 4 pieces now. Not counting the not released Cyberview ones that are like $500 a piece.
Yeah, I was watching some of those for you.
You need to get those.
I'm not gonna. If I ever like stumble across one in an estate sale or something, great, but I'm not spending that kind of, it's not that important to me. But all of the actual released in store figures, I've got almost all of them except for like 1 Exo Squad and 3 Robotech. Mm. I even bought the Sega Genesis game and went over to Danny's house and we were playing it. It's a fun game. That's so cool. And old video games are hard as shit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You die, you start that level over. Yep. That's some bullshit.
Messed up.
But the graphics are good. The gameplay was kind of fun. I was like, all right, cool.
Oh, cool.
So mostly that's what I've been picking up is Exo Squad. A couple of loose G.I. Joes here and there, but yeah. Nothing to speak of.
I heard a rumor that somebody completed their G.I. Joe collection.
I heard that too.
Yes, somebody did. I don't know who that guy is because he's really dumb for spending that much money on a piece of styrofoam. But yeah, I picked up the final piece.
You didn't
piece.
Spend that money on styrofoam. You spent that money on bragging rights. to like 10 like, you know, people.
Yeah, right. yeah, I picked up the Viper Glider. And I already have a absolute perfect Viper Glider pilot that I picked up a long time ago. But this Viper Glider is in great shape. Nice. And yeah, went on a job with Kevin, and afterwards we went over to James's place.
Yojo Depot. Which we'll talk about him in a little bit.
Yep. And man, just, I said, yeah, I was looking at all of his vintage Star Wars stuff that he had all splayed out, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I really want to buy one of those. And we got talking to G.I. Joe, and I said, yeah, there's only one vehicle I need, or one thing I need to complete my entire collection. Oh, what's that? Tell him, Viper Glider. Oh, I think I got one of those back there. And I'm like, no, really? And he's like, yeah, well, I'll find it someday. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, someday. Yeah, well, Viper Glider. Okay, it's back there. Where back there? And he's like, oh, it's like over there in that corner. Oh, it's over there.
Can we go
corner.
Look?
Can I go take a look in that corner and see? Oh, okay, we'll go find it. And I'm like, yay!
Yeah, and he like moved a bunch of tubs and bins and boxes. And
there it was. And it's gorgeous. Nice. There's not a wrinkle on it. It's really nice. Now it's still in that damn container he gave to me.
Yeah, it was
too.
Like a big like
tote.
Tote, yeah.
And so now I'm going to get like a large sized shadow box. Yeah. And I'm going to put the Falcon Glider and the Viper Glider side by side in the figures. And yeah.
Very nice.
One day. One day it'll happen.
One day. Well, at least you have it now.
Yes,
and
that I do.
And you're done.
I'm done.
You're done. You're now selling everything that's in your toy room.
Am I? I don't remember.
I mean, you can give it away if you want. There's things I'm missing.
Oh, okay. And yeah, otherwise it's just been I've spent way too damn much money over the last month in Star Wars figures. That shit needs to slow down. But we talked about that in the other episode that we'll maybe.
Yeah, where we talked about Dallas Vintage Toys, but we'll leave that rehash for another time.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's it.
All right.
We did it. I'll see you guys in April.
Can't wait.
Our biannual.
Yeah, no, we've got our shit together, and we're
do we though?
Yes.
Do we really?
I think we've officially have actually recorded 2 episodes now.
Okay.
Even though they'll only hear 1.
It needs to happen.
We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, you can follow nerdswithattitudepodcast.com, or you're going to find links to all of our social media. We have an occasional blog that we post stuff and little nerdy reviews and stories and stuff about. We're going to get back up on top of that. We really did just take a summer break. That was all. It was just other work and life stuff. Life. We're not done doing this. We just had to take a break. You know, this is a fun hobby time for us.
Yep.
So when we can't do it, we don't do it. But now we are getting into the holidays where we got all the time in the world, frankly.
I'm sorry. Do we? Do we?
Do we?
Do we really?
I'm sure we'll throw something out there after the December show.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll record at the December show. We'll talk to a lot of the voice artists and stuff. I think I have an archive episode that never got posted from the one in the spring. Summer.
Are we allowed to actually talk about who's going to be at the December show?
Well, yeah, that's right. Let's get into the promo portion of it. The social media, Facebook, Instagram.
Raw Live Unedited Podcast Network, rawlivepod.com.
Yep.
We're there. Along with Sarlacc Digest, They're Not Dolls, Podcasting Dead, all these other shows.
We are part of that network.
We are. Good guys.
And you can see us live in person at the SoCal Joe Show.
In Elsinore.
Lake Elsinore. It's no longer Temecula.
In Lake Elsinore, December 1st at Pens and Pockets. The place is great. If you went last year, we're actually in the big room. This time, or not last year, I mean at the last show.
In May.
We're going to be in the big room, so more spread out, more vendors,
and we're talking
more stuff going on.
Huge space.
It's easily two or three times the size of the room they were in.
Checking it out.
It's
big.
It's really, the guys are doing really well with continuing to kind of grow the show and make it stuff, make it into something, memorable. Dave, you're doing more exclusive
figures.
What are you doing this time?
It is a... Headhunter soldier.
Headhunter soldier.
Nice. So he'll have a trench coat. He'll have a knife. He'll have a shotgun.
I'm taking notes.
Gold face. Have the shoulder pad. It's gonna be nice.
Do you know how many you're doing of those?
65.
All right, put me down 65. For number 64, like usual.
65.
That's my lucky number.
Okay.
And then they're gonna do. They have an O-ring, a red laser. It is a DEF. Outlaw.
Yeah.
So, like, their first O-ring figure was Outlaw. They're doing a DEF version.
And he comes with...
It comes
a
with...
A bag of cocaine.
Well, no, he's the good guy.
It comes with an armadillo tank, but it's decoed as a headhunter armadillo tank. And there's a whole backstory with it that the Outlaw commandeers the headhunter tank and takes it over.
Might be the first time a Joe comes with a Cobra vehicle.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. All right.
So,
yeah. And Scott's doing the whole comic book backstory art program for it. No, you're just doing all the... Scott's doing all the package art and card art again, as usual, which is always awesome.
Yeah.
So that's the Joe Show. They're going to have more of the G.I. Joe voice talent is going to be there. I think this time we're getting Flint.
Yeah, I'm excited Flint. About this
which
one.
Which is cool.
I've always wanted to meet him, so I'm really pumped about this
one. What the hell's his damn name?
That is, the guy that does Flint, God. The voice. Dude.
I know it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I mean, I only designed the flyer for it. I don't
right.
know.
the finest, the G.I. Joe...
Bill Ratner, there we go.
The G.I. Joe Costume Club, the finest, has a newly formed Southern California garrison, so they will be there trooping in costumes. You can get your picture taken with some G.I. Joe characters.
You get some 5-minute sketches, I heard.
We're doing the usual everything, yeah. Get original artwork, yay. Lots of toys.
Get your exclusive t-shirt, get your exclusive mouse pad.
T-shirt's going to be good.
Yeah, don't forget, we're doing 10. Like, it's limited. So it's first come, first serve. They're,
I need one of those, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's make it sure.
Yeah. Spoil sport. You're getting one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So we're the Nerds of Attitude will have some exclusives at our table also. So make sure to pick those up. You're going to love it.
Might even have some stuff to sell at the table too. Super cheap.
Yeah, we usually bring a couple of toys and stuff to get rid of.
So. I got shit to sell.
Yeah, apparently he's getting rid of his entire G.I. Joe collection.
You know, once it's complete, what else you got to do with it?
Yeah, I know. So I think that's it. We did our social media. We did the shows coming up. That's a big deal. And
I think so.
All right, let me just hit record. We will get this podcast started.
Okay, warm up number two is done.
Jesus, I'm not doing a third one. So, all right, Dave, take us out of here.
This has been
Outlaw Dave.
Yeah. I'm like trying to think of a cool closing. But Dave's here. Dave. Right. That's all I got.
And Scott.
And I've been Headhunter Kevin, and you were Armadillo
so
Scott.
Armadillo Scott.
Armadillo Scott. Okay. I've been Headhunter Kevin, and you guys keep it nerdy.
Check, check, check.
Instead of on the side of your chin, put it on your chin.
Just like your balls.